Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast. You can catch up on earlier episodes at JoeBucksFan.com, Podbean.com, Podcast Addict, Apple Podcasts. You can find the sage all over town online and enjoy those. We've had a busy week, Sage. Before we get into the great people who help us produce this podcast, and we have a lot to talk about today about the Bucs. Not a lot, but we're going to go deep instead of going long. Sage, I have been told, and I'm praying for video, I have been told that you are going dancing on New Year's Eve at night. Is this true?
Not only is it true, but I can guarantee video of yours truly on the dance floor with my wife, who towers above me. She will not wear high heels when she's out with me. She won't do it. She says the disparity is too conspicuous. She can't have people staring at us. I will try not to step on her foot, but the big news is there's going to be some video. Maybe I should think twice about it, but I think I'll forward the video to you. It'll be a page-turner.
Well, that's good. All right. I might hold you to it. That'll be exciting. Lee, I found video of you dancing. I believe it was about 9 years ago before you joined Joe Bucks Fan, or right when you left the Tribune, you went out dancing, and that was a classic. Unfortunately, we lost it. We still have the picture of you in the mustache. We hold that over your head.
I think that was Skipper's Smokehouse when I was
there
dancing.
There was some kind of gathering of Tribune people, basically. It was like an Irish wake kind of thing. You were dancing on the sidewalk with your bride.
It was very energetic, too. Now I realize, Ira, that was 7-8 years ago. You know, you were just a young man of 80 back then, so it was a little different. But
you know who was there that night, Steve? At an adjacent table. And there he was, in the flesh. Stephen King. Oh, yes. Big rock and roll fan. Must have a place in Florida. I think he lives in Maine primarily. But Stephen, you can't not recognize Stephen King. I mean, he's got a very distinctive look to him.
The defenseman for the Kings, right?
Absolutely not. The guy who wrote The Shining and Carrie and all that stuff. I didn't get to talk to him, Steve. When I finished dancing and I walked back to my table, King said, That's another novel. I'm going to get to work right on it. So I inspired him that night, Stevie.
Sage, this is a huge weekend, not only for the Buccaneers, but at Bill Curry Ford. The big billboard is there on Dale Mabry Highway, just north of the stadium where Bill Curry Ford lives. 0% APR financing offers for 72 months. Get to BillCurryFord.com. This is going to end. This is an exclusive offer to Bill Curry Ford, family-owned since 1960. And they're buying down the interest to make these great opportunities available. Get there, BillCurryFord.com. Don't wait. They will disappear. This isn't something that's going to pop up again on the end of January. It's not happening. BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan is always there for you online. His email address can be found there. You can reach out to him. You can ask for the Ira Kaufman discount. You can just ask for guidance. Sean is amazing in helping customers. And everybody is at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. The Giant is almost here, meaning the Giant remodel is almost done. I witnessed it myself the other day, Ira, and it looks great, but they're open for business. Get out there, test drive if you want to, BillCurryFord.com. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, Ira. You don't want a disaster, right? That's the last thing you want in the new year, but these things happen. Flood can destroy your home. And you might not even know it. I once had a pipe burst under tile. All of a sudden, for 2-3 days, it felt like the room was getting too hot. The floor was warm. I thought I was losing my mind. It turned out it was a broken hot water pipe. And that was a nasty disaster. I wish I had known about Florida's Elite Restoration at that time because I got ripped off. Terrible, terrible story. But Florida's Elite Restoration is there for you. Storm damage, mold, they're licensed mold remediation specialists. They'll give you a free evaluation at your property, and they will work with you, with your insurance company, if you move forward with them to restore your property. They will make sure you get the money that's coming to you. And if you call initially and mention Ira or Joe Bucks Fan, you will get $500 back if you need their services. And that's fantastic. Florida's Elite Restoration.com is where to go. That is where to learn about them so you're ready when the bad things happen at your property, business, or home. And our thanks to Big Storm Beer. Stock up. Holiday season is here. Big Storm Spirits are available to you. The vodka sodas are incredible, Ira. The Big Storm Distillery can be found at bigstormdistillery.com, but your tap rooms in Clearwater, in Odessa, in Amway Center in Orlando, and right there in Ybor City, upstairs in Central Ybor. You can hang out there for the parade if you're going to the big bowl game in town. It's just a lot of cool things going on at Big Storm. Follow each location on social media to see the great specials. Again, Big Storm Odessa, Big Storm Clearwater, Big Storm Orlando at the Amway Center, and Big Storm Ybor City. We were out there the other night, had a good time. Sage was drinking a Kolsch. Food was good, as always. You can see the menus online, too. All right, Ira, look, you've heard the chatter from One Buck this week. You were out there. We talked about it a little bit. You know what? We didn't talk about it on the podcast. Your feelings from the vibe of walking around and talking to people.
I think it's a quiet confidence. They're very careful about bulletin board material for the Saints. I don't think the Saints need any extra motivation. Lee, they hate the Bucks. And guess what? Vice versa. These two teams just do not like each other. I don't think the Bucks and the Panthers have this kind of rivalry. Maybe even the Bucks and the Falcons. It's the Bucks and the Saints, Lee. Very memorable games, postseason games. The Bucks had to get through the Superdome to go to the Super Bowl, which they did. Some very memorable games and games within the games in terms of Mike Evans and Lattimore and just feisty play. But I'll say this, Lee, right up front, they don't scare me. These guys don't scare me. They're an average team at best, Lee. They're under 500. And, Lee, I've done my research, Lee. These are the teams that have lost to the 2023 Saints. Tennessee, Carolina, New England, Indy, Chicago, Carolina, and the New York Giants. I mean, that's a rogues gallery, gentlemen. The Colts aren't bad. They might be average, maybe a touch above, might make the playoffs, maybe. Lee, the way I'm looking at it from a Saints perspective, I think they're done, and I think they know it. I went to the website, the official website of the team, and I'm looking at the videos, Lee, of the players, maybe even some of the coaches. They kind of look resigned that it's just not going to happen for them this year. And I think it's killing them that even if they beat the Bucks, which I don't think they will, Lee, then, they got to hope the Bucks lose to Carolina. Otherwise, they're out anyway. So this is not a winner-take-all game for the Saints' perspective, like it is from a Buck perspective. Lee, they're just not very good. A couple other quick points. Lee, we've talked about many times when a guy gets to be 32, 33, 34, unless they're named Tom Brady, of course, or maybe even Lavonte David, they hit a wall, Lee, and it happens fast. One year, they're pretty darn good. The next year, they're done. I'll tell you who fits that description, Lee. Now, I don't want to jinx this, and I hope I'm not killing Luke Getteke with this one, but Cam Jordan, he looks like he's done. He looks like he's done. He's 34 years old. He's got 2 sacks, Lee. More importantly, he's got 6 quarterback hits. 6 hits? The guy plays every game.
And people whine and complain about Joe Dryon.
2 sacks for Cam Jordan to play like him. His Pro Bowl aspirations are gone, certainly for this year. And it's hard to imagine he's going to bounce back. Lee, they got a guy named Carl Granderson. He was a UFA. He's been on the team. This is his first year, really, as a starter. He's having a nice season. So I think he's going to be the main focus in terms of pass protection over Cam Jordan. And, Lee, I just hope I don't jinx this thing and Jordan ends up with 2.5 sacks on Sunday.
I watched this guy's video a little bit because I got tricked into watching it, thinking it was a Baker Mayfield feature. But no less an authority than Pete Prisco flatly stated in Vince, he was talking about the Bucks. In mid-sentence, he stopped and he said about the Bucks, and they will beat the Saints. And he continued.
Steve, the dynamics surrounding this game, I just think it's totally in the Bucks' favor. Not just that they're home, because frankly, Steve, until last week, the Bucks kind of played better on the road than they did at home. But just, the Bucks win and they're in, and the Saints don't look at it that way. Steve, I think that's a big psychological edge to the home team. I do.
You know what? The Saints know, I think in the back of their head, they know that the Bucs only need one win. So, I mean, I guess if I were playing for the Saints, the thought of the Bucs losing to the Panthers is kind of hard to stomach at this point, especially since the Saints just clobbered the Panthers a few weeks ago. That was no game. And, of course, the Saints closed the season with the Falcons, which is their arch rival, even though for us the big rival is the Saints. For the Saints, the big rival is the Falcons. But, yeah, I'm watching some of those locker room videos, Ira, the energy is down, and there's just a lot of gloom and doom. I heard Mike Neighbors, who's been covering the Saints for years, used to host the Drew Brees show in New Orleans. He was on local radio in Tampa, and he was dropping some quotes that a player told him, their starting center, as well as just his overall opinion of the Saints. I mean, he thinks they've basically written off the season, and that the numbers that you see for Derek Carr, and I've heard this elsewhere, are very much garbage time numbers. He's been awesome in garbage time. It's like two different teams going in different directions, Ira, but I don't know. I still have a funny feeling about this game, which we'll get into. Anything else from One Buck, though, that really struck you?
Just the love for Baker Mayfield, it's overwhelming. You saw that Jason Light told me the other day that the identity of this team is Baker Mayfield. I mean, how more plainly can you state it? Fiery, don't quit, hustle, leadership. He's playing at a high level. I'll take him over Derek Carr any day of the week right now. Now, the Bucs have some injuries, Lee. They do. They got some guys that are out, but so do the Saints. They got a good tackle named Ramczyk. He's not playing. Kamara is sick. He's questionable. Although, to be truthfully, the Bucs do a very good job on Kamara, generally speaking, the last 3 years. He scores a few touchdowns, but he's not a game wrecker against the Bucs. Bowles has a good defensive plan against him. Olave's a good player. The Saints' defense isn't bad, Lee. It might be on a par with the Bucs defense. Maybe. Even though Jordan, I think, looks like he's done. Lee, I think unless the Bucs self-destruct, which they're capable of doing, Lee, on the other hand, Mayfield hasn't thrown more than one pick in any game this year. Not one game has Mayfield thrown more than one interception, and he's only got 8 on the season. The Bucs are doing very well in the turnover ratio. I'd be very surprised, Lee, if the Bucs don't win this game.
Lattimore's out as well. You know, he's on injured reserve. Here was my vibe from the locker room. Very upbeat. I haven't seen the locker room that alive all year. I was out there Thursday. Very upbeat. Maybe confident. I don't know about cocky. Not arrogant, but good mood. Like, they know if they play well Sunday, they're division champs. And a month ago, let's be honest, nobody, a month ago, we didn't know who the quarterback was going to be next year. We got a pretty good idea now. We didn't know who the coach was going to be next year. We didn't know who the OC was going to be next year. We didn't know a lot of things because it looked like they were going to be really, really bad, and they turned it around. Now it's a fait accompli. I think, unless they lose the last two games, I think Bowles is coming back. I think Mayfield's coming back. I'm pretty sure Canales is coming back. So a lot has changed in the past month, and I think the players are feeling it. And I'll go out on record as saying this. If the Bucs win Sunday, that will be the biggest regular season home win for the Bucs since that stadium was opened, because it's a division clincher against the slimy Saints.
Whoa, that's quite a statement over there, Mr. D. That's,
you know what I'm saying? Regular season. Biggest regular season win that team has had in that stadium.
That's 25 years of football, Lee, with Ray J. I can't go there, Lee, because if they lose, they can still win the division. So to me, it's not a winner-take-all, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, if they win, that's what I mean. If they win, they not just win the division, but they stomp the Saints by doing it. We all know how much Bucs fans hate the Saints. Then the Saints give you all kinds of reasons to hate them. We can go on and on why Bucs fans hate the Saints. And they all have merit. And for the Bucs to not just beat the Saints, which is always good, but to wrap up the division by beating the Saints, that's the cherry on top.
And Steve, one more thing to notice about changes at One Buck Place in the past month. When Lee and I went into the locker room when they were 4-7, there were the same two or three guys at their lockers. Tristan Wirfs. You might get Lavonne David, maybe, probably not. Maybe Carlton Davis hanging around, maybe Winfield.
Jamel Dean and possibly Luke Getke.
And maybe Godwin. And you went in there Thursday, Lee, and I guarantee there were a lot of guys sitting right at their locker waiting for you.
Oh, yeah, there are a lot of guys hanging out. They know with just one win against a team they've already beaten on the road, one win and they wrap up a division title.
Steve, Lee just hit it on the head in terms of the Saints' psyche. Steve, when you don't control your own destiny with two games remaining, it's daunting. And you need help, and you need a lot of help. So I think from a psychological point of view, advantage Bucks, Steve.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Look, and I'm sure it is upbeat. I think rock bottom, I got to assume rock bottom was when I was in that locker room in Indianapolis when they lost to the Colts and fell to 4-7. I mean, to think that that group would be this group now is hard to believe, but here we are. You know, I don't know. These division games are kind of crazy, Ira, but let me get your thought on this. Pat Kerwin, who you know was the Jets personnel executive, handled their contracts. He's the the voice of SiriusXM NFL Radio. You've been on his show before. He also used to be a linebackers coach. He's done everything in the game. And he was talking about Mayfield and his contract and the Bucks this week. Yeah. And Kerwin was very clear. He said, quote, if he's Mike Evans' agent, he's going to tell the Bucks, quote, my guy's not going to do anything until we see what you're doing with Baker. And so basically Kerwin was saying the Bucks have a little problem here because Mike Evans isn't going to sign unless they offer him exactly what he wants until he knows what's going on with Mayfield and they can sort of work together. Per Kerwin, I haven't written this up yet, but per Kerwin, I guess he's got some inside action on the Bucks and found out that Evans gave Mayfield an extraordinarily expensive watch for Christmas, which I hadn't seen reported anywhere else. I don't know. What do you think of that?
I think there's a little truth to that. That's what I think. Put yourself in number 13's position in his head. Does Mike Evans want to start all over with a rookie quarterback and watch Mayfield leave in free agency to some team that throws him a lot of money?
Not unless they make it worth his while.
I don't know. At this stage in Evans' career, of course money rules, of course.
Yep.
But a quick number two is who's under center. And certainly Mayfield can't complain about his production. With number six throwing him the ball. He had six touchdowns last year. Steve, he's got 13 on his way maybe to 15. He might lead the league in touchdown catch. He's got a pretty good chance to do it, especially without Lattimore, right, Lee, playing on Sunday. I think there's a little truth in what Kerwin's saying, but you always go back to the money, and you're not wrong. All things being equal, who's going to shower Evans with a big contract? Boy, I can think of six, seven, eight teams that can't wait for Mike Evans to hit free agency. I don't think the Bucks will let Evans hit free agency, Lee. I don't think they will. I think they're going to wrap him up, and I think they're also going to wrap up Mayfield. The Mayfield one to me is the interesting one, Lee, because, you know, you go past 3-year commitment. I mean, you know, Mayfield's had a bounce back year. I think he's the comeback player of the year. I have a vote. I think I'm voting for Mayfield, with all due respect for DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah, that's a great story, but it's a humanitarian story. Human interest story. It's not a football story.
And if Hamlin played 12 games this year, I'd vote for him. But
two tackles, doesn't he?
Yeah, the same thing with Joe Flacco. I mean, Lee, this is crazy. Mayfield's played every game, and I'm gonna give the award to Joe Flacco. That's just crazy. I mean, I'm not even sure if Flacco's playing better than Mayfield at this point. You know, he's had some good games. I think he's got 8 interceptions, Flacco, and that's a big number. Considering how many snaps Flacco's has. Anyway, I believe, you know Kerwin, he's got good contacts in the organization. I think Mayfield and Evans at this point, guys, and Bowles, I think they're all joined at the hip, kind of, especially Mayfield and Bowles, Lee. Bowles comes back, I can't see Bowles losing Mayfield. I can't see it.
I agree. I absolutely agree. If Bowles comes back, Mayfield comes back. And right now, I don't see Bowles leaving. Again, if he chokes the last two games of the season, then we're talking something different. Evans, you know, let's be honest. This is probably his last contract, and he said he wants the money. He's been pretty upfront about that. He's wanting the money. So, you know, the Glazers cut him a check. He'll play with a rookie quarterback. I still think, I know this triggers you, Ira, because you're a Chiefs fan, I know. And you're right, he would look good in a Chiefs uniform. But imagine what he would do with Houston. And imagine if you're Houston, what kind of addition that would be with his intelligence and the way he knows the game, how he could coach up or teach up those young receivers that Houston has. And obviously, Houston has an excellent young quarterback, and that's in his backyard. He's from Galveston. So that's why I keep saying Houston. That just seems like a dream place for both sides. There's some other teams as well, but I really believe, you know, as the old Tom Cruise quote, well, I can't remember the name of the movie. It was about a sports agent. When he said, "Show me the money," that's what it is with Evan.
Jerry Maguire. Late Jerry Maguire.
Yeah, that's right. You're the movie guy. You would know. You know, have you ever seen that movie?
It's got a line in there that you can relate to. He looks at his would-be girlfriend and says, "You complete me. You complete me."
I cannot relate to that, but I can relate to "Show me the money." That I can relate to.
Now, Steve, in the words of Steve Isbitz, and nobody uses movie quotes like I do, guys. No, nobody. But in the words of Steve Isbitz, you're taking a hell of a chance if you let a guy like Mike Evans, Steve, in mid-March, or March 12th, whatever it is, hit the market. And in the words of Steve Isbitz, all it takes is one desperate team. All of a sudden, the Bucks are behind the eight ball.
Well, there's a lot of moving parts here, and because what Kerwin's saying is very accurate. What I'm a little getting worried about, Ira, if the Bucks win the next two games, right? I look at Atlanta, and I see that they have a top 10 defense statistically, and they have to like what's been happening with their defense. Man, I could just see the big bosses there saying, "Hey, Dave Canales, we want to interview you for head coach, and we'll make it a package deal. You come, you bring Mayfield, we'll pay each of you, and we got the talent, we'll hit this ground running and win the division." I feel like they could be a package deal because Mayfield doesn't want to be here without Canales. I just see it, Ira. I see the Falcons looking at that as, you know, talking to the right people behind the scenes. And maybe if he actually wins these last two games and becomes a hot candidate and the offense keeps going, he could be a package deal with Mayfield for multiple teams. What do you think of that?
You know, leave it to you to come up with a nightmare scenario. You got Rich McKay right in the middle of it, driving the whole thing with Arthur Blank, sitting in Arthur Blank's suite. Hey, we could get Mayfield. It's almost incomprehensible. And maybe I'm being naive. I've been accused of being naive at times. You can't let the Falcons outbid you for Baker Mayfield at this point. Lee, you can't do that. You can't do that. Then you're stuck. You got no quarterback. You got the 20th pick in the draft. You know, you don't know if Bo Nix is going to be there. Jaden Daniels ain't going to be there. The other two guys ain't going to be there. You might be able to get Penix. Who's your quarterback, Lee? I mean, at this point, they win this division, probably going to win 10 games. I'm not sure they can give Dallas a tussle late in the opening playoff game. Can you really let Mayfield go to a division rival? Can you?
Well, you can't. You can't get sucked in. First off, props to Steve. I literally had that on my lips. I wasn't necessarily speaking of Atlanta, but I could see Canales going somewhere. Let's put it this way. How many teams out there are going to be looking for a coach that have quarterback? Very few. Maybe the only one is the Chargers. That could be the only one. Everybody else is going to need a quarterback. So if you hire Canales, Canales, hey, I'll bring Baker with me. Look what I did for him. He won the Bucs' division. No one gave the Bucs a chance. So I could easily see that happen. Now, if they get in a bidding war with Atlanta, you got to be careful. If Atlanta wants to get stupid and throw idiotic money at Baker Mayfield, if I'm the Glazers or Jason Light, I'm like, knock yourselves out. We'll go out and we'll draft a quarterback.
I hear you.
Do I want Mayfield back? Yes, I do. Do I want Canales back? Yes, I do. And I think I've been consistent with this. I've said all along, Mayfield returning or not, I don't care. They should be drafting a quarterback in the first round. You're like, oh, wait a minute. If you're signing Mayfield, what are you drafting one for? You signed Mayfield to a 3-year contract. And you could do like the Packers have done the last couple quarterbacks they've had. They had sat him on the bench a couple of years. Jordan Love's turned out to be a fairly decent quarterback. We all know about Aaron Rodgers. So you do the same thing with, let's say, Bo Nix. You sit him on the bench. And if Mayfield, if this turns out to be a flash in the pan, or Canales goes somewhere 2 years from now and Mayfield collapses because no Canales, well, your backup plan is the guy you have on the bench.
Steve, has Canales done enough through 15 games to merit widespread interest from owners across the league, general managers across the league? Do you think it's this little thing maybe as a quarterback guru with what happened in Seattle and now, you know, resurrecting Mayfield's career? Steve, you think he's done enough to get that kind of traction?
I don't think so, but there's still two games to go. But if you do think he's done enough to get that traction, then, frankly, I think you have to wonder if the Glazers are interested in hiring him as head coach. And that's a whole different animal. So, yeah, that puts another twist to it.
The magic word you used is quarterback. Now, I'm like Steve. If I'm hiring a head coach, I want to see a little bit more from Canales than four or five games. And to be bluntly honest, the first two games of this winning streak wasn't exactly like the offense reminded people of the 84 49ers. But, you know, they struggled those two games. Mayfield was clutch. They won. That's great. I'd want to see more. However, if I'm an owner, there's a guy like Canales out there that has a track record of getting the most out of a quarterback, and we know how important. I know there's a segment of the population that walks among us that doesn't believe in the value of quarterbacks. Well, knock yourself out in fantasy land. Quarterbacks are important, especially to owners. And given the importance of quarterback and the money that owners invest in these guys, Canales is a guy, a young guy, energetic guy, positive guy. That's another good thing owners like. He's a good image guy, and you have a guy like him with a track record of working with quarterbacks who are thought to be basically done with their careers. I want to talk to that guy.
I guess my only counterpoint, Steve, is he's the same OC that was 4-7 with a lousy offense 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's why I said let's see what the last two games bring. You know, you can't take a step back.
Yeah.
All right, Sage, look, I'll go first on this game. I think the Bucks are going to win because they're more talented. But, man, I just see a situation where the defense gets exposed and they may have to outscore the Saints here, and these division games are crazy. So just from a will the Bucks win, I don't think we're looking at any kind of laugher. So I think it's a tight game in the fourth quarter, and the Bucks win by a touchdown. I'll say 24-16.
Lee, I got the Bucks 23-16. You know, the Saints aren't terrible, but they're not very good, in my opinion. I just think they're beaten down, Lee. Watching those videos, listening to these guys, they're beaten down. I think Dennis Allen is gone after this season. I would dump him. He's never done anything in this league. I got the Bucks 23-16, and then next week's podcast will be centered around how much rest should you give the regulars.
I will go closer than what you guys are saying. I'll go 24-21. I'm letting my emotions get the best of me here. Ordinarily, I would be more paranoid about this game than Steve is, because the history of the NFC South is very difficult to sweep teams. And I'll reiterate, this will be the biggest regular season win in that stadium's history because of who they beat and the ramifications of the win, which means division title. You beat the slimy Saints to win the division. There'll be no bigger regular season win than that. You know, who you beat and what came of it. I want to see that. It'll be a history in the making. Bucks fans will remember this for decades. They beat the slimy Saints to wrap up the division. That'd be like the Cardinals beating the Cubs to wrap up the National League pennant. That'd be the same thing.
And Steve, before
Cam Jordan goes home crying.
Steve, before Buck fans go crazy, they should remember that Lee said this pertains to Raymond James Stadium because, Steve, you could argue the last game of the 79 regular season, the fourth year of the franchise, the Bucks needed to win that game against Kansas City. I wasn't here, Steve. I guess it was a monsoon in Tampa at the Sombrero, and the Bucks won. Lee, I think it was 3-0. Am I wrong?
It was a Neil O'Donohue's field goal in a downpour, like you said, monsoon.
Yeah, so you said Ray J, in case anybody was talking about that game.
Thank you for clarifying that, Ira.
There you go, baby.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to look it up. I know the Bucks blew out Brett Favre and the Packers late in the season in 1999, and that might have clinched the division for them. I'd have to look that up. I remember that being a huge, huge game in the division at that time. But it's a fun thing to look up to, you know, if there's a comparable game. I'm not sure there is, but I think that one might be it.
The fans hate the Packers that much. I mean, they hate the Saints. Bucks fans despise the Saints. I know there's a division rival. They were getting sick of the Packers. They got sick of Packers fans. I understand that, but did they revile the Packers like they revile the Saints? That's what distinguishes it for me.
I think people kind of sort of liked Brett Favre in his own way because he had that little relationship with Warren Sapp, but they hated Packers fans and the way they invaded the stadium. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it was a healthy rivalry. Of course, you got the Chad Clifton game. That added a storied element. They met in the playoffs, Lee. I think it was 97 in Lambeau, and Green Bay won 21-7. But I used this in my SAP presentation 10 years ago. That was SAP's first playoff game. He had three sacks, Lee. He had three sacks of Brett Favre.
Wow.
On the road. And the Bucs lost because they couldn't generate enough offense. But healthy rivalry between. But like Lee says, the slimy Saints, that's a whole different level.
All right.
Ira, you were right. The Bucs did beat Kansas City for that playoff, the division clinching win in 79. The worst of first season, 3-0. Neil O'Donoghue field goal.
All right, Ira. Well, I want to remind everybody that Carlton Davis is not going to play. Shaq Barrett is not going to play. And I don't think anybody's even thinking twice about it. No big deal, which says a lot, considering how much money they're making, how much Shaq's game has sort of fallen off a little bit this year when it comes to production, and that the Bucs have a replacement for Carlton Davis now. And they've done pretty well when he hasn't been there, which I think that says a lot. No Kokeeft either, but, you know, that's not a big deal.
Yeah, and Lee, the last couple of years, and you got to, you know, tip your hat to Bowles in this regard. Shaq Barrett's production has dropped. No JPP, no Sue. And yet, you know, they get their 45, 48, 40, 49 sacks a year, which they're going to do again. So the last 2 years, Lee, it's more about a bunch of different guys having 4, 5.5, 6.5. They don't have, you know, TJ Watt, you know, who's going to have 17. They don't have that, Lee. They don't have it. They had it with Barrett in 2019. Those days seem to be long gone. So it's like spread the wealth with the pass rush. When you add it all up, Lee, they got 47 sacks. Not bad.
I know what Steve's saying about Carlton Davis. Fans are done with Carlton Davis. I sense anger when you mention Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean. But I saw a Stat Geek site that charts separation by receivers on every cornerback who's had like 100-odd snaps on defense. Every cornerback. And the separation receivers are getting against Dean and Davis are much less than they're getting on Dee Delaney and Zion McCollum. So the people wanting to throw shovel dirt in Carlton Davis's face, I think it's a little premature.
Having said that, Lee, you've written it many times. I think you did it again this week. Haven't they given up the most passing yards in football, Lee?
Yes, they have. I always go back to when Bowles was saying earlier in the year he was playing more zone because guys not named Dean and Davis weren't good at playing man. And to me, that's ass backwards. You're going to lessen the play of your two best corners, and expensive, I might add, just to cover for guys who can't play man better? Maybe that's why Dean and Davis have fallen off the map at the same time. It's just really weird for me how those guys have just dropped off a cliff just overnight, basically. Both those guys, not just one. There's something going on behind the scenes that we don't know of. And I don't know if it's as simple as Bowles saying, well, that's because I have these guys playing zone and they don't play zone so well. If I was a Glazer and I heard that, like, you're going to have to come up with a better excuse. Todd, you got to come up with a better excuse than that. I'm not paying these guys to look like crap in zone defense. I'm paying these guys to look good in man. What's going on here?
That's right. You know, the Bucs are doing a lot of things well right now, but I think a continuing issue, Steve, for me, are the busts in coverage. I mean, the Atlanta game was bad. Drake London looked like Lance Allworth or Jerry Rice. And not very good against Green Bay, Steve. Not very good. Wide open. A little bit better last week, Steve. A little bit better, but there's still an alarming number of busts, Steve, with the, I don't know if you want to talk about communication or the complexity of the defense, but it's happening too much for my taste.
Well, Sage, Lee mentioned throwing dirt in Carlton Davis's face. No one's throwing dirt in your face, Ira. It's too early for that. We got a lot of years to go. This year is wrapped up on the Ira Kaufman podcast. Have fun with your wife. Have fun watching the Bucs. And, you know, we'll talk about it real soon, Sage.
Happy New Year, everybody.